Sport Comedy Podcast. In this podcast, we are evaluating traveling comics to see if they are fit to do comedy in Turkey. Today, I'm joined with my co-host, Aslı Akbay.
Hello, I am Aslı Akbay. Hope you're all well.
And our lovely guest here, Chris Doring.
Hi, hey. I'm already out because I'm not fit. I'm sorry. Come to very unfit.
All right, this was a short episode. Thanks for joining.
We'll be the judge of that, Chris. Hold on.
Yes.
Do you have to lift my shirt in this? To prove
maybe.
It?
Well,
it
maybe.
If you've shaved your nipples or not.
It's a requirement, actually.
Oh, of course.
Did you shave your nipples?
I did not shave my nipples. Also, I would assume that would help to get into Turkey. The hairier it is, the better it is. Also, didn't shave my asshole, so I thought that might be helpful.
Ooh, he went straight to the asshole.
Yes.
Take it from here.
Actually, preferable not to shave your asshole. But yeah, I can imagine it now.
You can collect crumbs.
So to anybody who tuned in right in this episode, I just want everyone to shortly introduce themselves. I am Murat. Everybody, I'm doing comedy in Turkish and English for 10 years now. And I think I am the best judge in the world to see if the other people are fit to do comedy in Turkey.
Yeah.
I'm a cultivation of different cultures and languages. And I'm joined by my co-host, Aslı Akbay.
Yes, my name's Aslı Akbay. I grew up in London. I started stand-up over there. Then I moved to Istanbul. And then I started doing stand-up in Turkish for the first time, which was hard. And then anyway, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward many years. I'm here at the table, joined by you lovely people.
Yeah, fantastic. And the man of the hour, Chris Doring. What's up with you? What's your story?
Oh, yeah. I actually started English comedy as well in London about 12, 13 years ago, like 2010, 2011. I did German comedy before that, which is a slightly different thing because we have this comedy tradition called Kabarett, which is, it's not that cabaret with like wigs and like, you know, people singing the gang or whatever. It's not that. It's more sort of a political, topical version of stand-up, sometimes sketch-based, and you do it in groups a lot of the times as well.
Sketch satire stuff. Kind of like spitting image. Do you remember?
I remember that. It's a little bit like that, exactly. And so I did that for a while. And for those of you who are not familiar with cabaret and the difference to stand-up comedy, I always liken it to different musical genres, you know, like stand-up, it's cool, it's like rock and roll, it's like dun-dun-dun, bam-pam-pam-pam-pam-pam, while cabaret is a lot more like jazz. It's like very slow, it's like dun-dun-dun.
Much of it can give you a headache. Basically.
Yeah, kind of. And when I moved to London, I realized very quickly people hate jazz. So that's when I started doing stand-up. And then, I've been doing English stand-up ever since.
Have you done ever improv comedy?
Improv? Not really, no. I did, because I come from theater originally, so I did a lot of sort of like improvisational exercises, a lot of like the theater world, a lot of what you do for warm-up is like improvisational exercises as well, but never really sort of improv comedy in like a group or anything like that.
Mm. Yeah. Good, I'm glad to hear that.
Lots of comics find...
There's always hate between sort of the improv people and the stand-up people.
You know why?
What's up with that?
I kind of put my finger on it the other time I was thinking about it.
That's why they're so unhappy and you're banned in England now. Okay.
No, I think the people who does improv comedy is a bunch of people who doesn't have enough courage to even friend zone each other. So they can come up with... elaborate plans to just not have
a lazy take. No, I think here's what I think it is. It's so improv is like a high wire act, you know, like you see them sort of walk up and the amazing thing that's happening in the room is not because of the quality of what they're saying is really, really all that good, but it's amazing that they're not falling down and dying. So that's so the illusion of everything is happening here in the room and this very moment, everything build up. That's sort of what's amazing to the audience.
If I've bought a ticket to see improv comedy, which is never going to happen, but if I bought a ticket to see improv comedy,
you want them to
at least I would want them to stay alive, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the least they can do. The thing is sometimes, I mean, it's very hard for improv comedy to be very good. That's the problem. There's a lot of bad improv comedy. It's not easy to come up with something amazing, like you're saying.
Precisely.
That's why it's hit and miss.
That's why I feel it's like a high wire act. The fact that it's happening at all and it's not they're not like metaphorically crashing and burning. That's the amazing thing that's happening. So the fact that it's happening at all.
Yeah, somehow, and long form improv is crazy. I've seen some long improv stuff, and it's where they go on for like 45 minutes, dude. Like two people.
And it's essentially the same. I mean, they change scenes in between a little while, but like sometimes it's like a little theater play in a way, and it's about as funny. And
because it's being improv. Mean again.
No, but for stand up, and it's very different because people who come to stand up shows, they expect it to be funny like from the get go. Like you gotta bring some stuff.
Well thought out, structured material.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's abstract comedians as well, and like part of their act is that it is so weird and chaotic. So you have these different varieties. There's enough room, I feel, in the genre for different types of comedy as well. I sometimes feel that even the art form of stand up itself is a little bit restrictive, where everybody feels like, oh, this is the way to do it. Like specifically when we talk about like the sort of American and British type, like this is stand up comedy. This is what it is.
To me, it sounds like you find stand up maybe slightly restrictive because you started cabaret first.
But at the same time, I'm one of those people. I want to strive first to be good at this. So I feel like I'm one of those people. I want to master this first before I feel like I'm comfortable yet to branch out, because I've branched out before in just other art forms essentially. So then I don't necessarily have that need to do that as much. Yeah.
It's been 10 years, you said. Is it?
12, 13. Like I started in 2010 when I went to Milan.
12, 13 years. So this is a good tick on the box here on our evaluation form.
Oh, yes. I really want to get into Turkey.
What was the first ever stand-up gig you ever did? Was that in London?
That was in London. That was in a very small back room of a cafe in Camden. I've forgotten what the name
was. Not Monkey Business.
No, it wasn't Monkey Business. I've forgotten. It was weird because I think they billed it as sort of alternative open mic, and then the people were on stage.
Do you remember who was running it?
A guy called Warren. But
okay, what year was that?
2010.
10.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's and everybody who got on, they did that sort of a shtick where they were either trying to emulate Stuart Lee or doing something just completely offbeat.
Okay. So there was like a theme. There was a theme as well then.
No, well, they called it sort of alternative comedy open mic. Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. We already have the answers anyways, but just to check for passport reasons.
I'm taking notes.
What's your birth date?
Birthday? February 26th.
Okay.
Mm, what star sign is that?
The zodiac sign, I think it's Pisces, isn't it?
Doesn't even know his star sign.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Well, we'll see in the evaluation.
Okay, yeah, I've got a question. How does Islam feel about the zodiac signs?
Islam feels strongly about it.
Very strongly. It's an integral part of the minaret culture. It's the morning prayer, and then let's check our star signs. What moon is Venus in?
Yeah, because all the galaxies and stars were created by God. It's also well appreciated by Islam.
I mean,
exactly.
I'm Pisces, inshallah, I guess.
Inshallah.
Comedian that doesn't know his own star sign.
Well, all right. You were born in East Berlin.
That's right.
How was East Berlin growing up? Like
a lot of walls.
Like doing comedy growing up in Germany must be a tough decision. You know?
I mean,
how did you find your calling?
I mean, here's the thing. What would you have to remember? Like East Germany, East Berlin. I mean, we're part of the East Bloc, so we're Eastern Europeans in a way. I always find, specifically when you talk to other Europeans, you talk to
Croatian
people. Yeah. Like it's always weird when you say as an East German you're also like from the East Bloc or Eastern European, because it's like saying you're Parisian in France, like I'm French, where everybody goes like, yeah, that's technically correct, but you're still an asshole. So you know what I mean? So it's always because we were like the in a way the most privileged people, because we sort of had the best family within the East Bloc. At the same time, our government was the worst within the East Bloc, because our government was I would say within the East Bloc, like the only government who actually believed in the whole nonsense, where everybody else was just like, I mean, we all know this is bullshit, but you know, what we got to do. So they were actually like ideologically convinced by this nonsense and sort of really sort of try to make this work and oppress everyone properly. So yeah.
One thing just ticked my mind.
I mean, he got quite nervous at that question. You kind of rambled on for a little bit and he's trying to...
Oh, that's just me. I'm a rambler. I'm a serial rambler.
Yeah. No, okay.
People say you're French. You could have said asshole. That was the comment. Like it's a bit of redundant, right?
My point, yes. My point is sort of that being Parisian in France is you're not typical French, sort of.
Yeah.
Very different breed, and it's sort of like being East German within these blocks. I'm sorry, I'm over explaining the joke.
So the people in East Berlin believe they were better than everyone else. Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're not listening to me. No, what I'm saying is that being East German is a different breed of Eastern European as the rest of Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I have the similar joke explaining attitude because I have this little beta narcissist inside me that never get enough attention from his father. So I have to explain my jokes. It's not about the other parties.
All right, Morat, let's get into this. Why do you think that is?
Have you seen The Wall?
The Wall? Yeah. The Berlin Wall? Have I seen the Berlin Wall? Yes, I've seen The Berlin Wall. Yes.
Growing up?
Well, although you know what's funny day in my family, like my mom has this hilarious story about my past where I was with her with one of the groups of friends on an evening where they were out, and like one of the friends sort of out of the blue is like do you know The Wall? And then, you know, obviously as a kid, when you're just being asked about it, my first question, what wall are you talking about? And that was hilarious to everyone. Because it's like, obviously it wasn't clear to me that she was talking about the wall. It was like, what
so
wall?
Your
like,
first wall? Joke. That was your first joke?
Yeah. Sounds like,
apparently.
What wall? This one? Living room wall? My bedroom wall? Kitchen wall?
This kid
yeah,
is
but,
funny.
To this day. Yeah, but unintentionally, that's the joke in my family that everybody finds it hilarious how stupid I was not knowing what wall we're talking about.
What would you become if not a comedian?
What would I become if not a comedian? I don't know. I mean,
you're not allowed to say plastering, plumbing, you know, and those typical
Polish.
Eastern European things. It's okay, you're still Eastern European.
Your favorite porn genre. That's she doesn't want to get their ass here.
Love that you're being down on Eastern Europeans with your Adidas tracksuit on, wearing the official flag of Eastern Europe.
Of course.
She's actually doing a slow squat at the moment. But
Slavic squat, yeah, nice.
I'm sponsored by Adidas.
Very good, very good. I used to have a life outside of comedy. So when I wasn't a full-time comedian, and that's one of the reasons I was in London to begin with, is I was a researcher. I worked in research.
What were you
so
researching?
I would probably do that. So I was a behavioral economist. I used to do that type of stuff.
You were trying to find out how to make people spend more money, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. I'm asking you about behavioral
economists.
Yes.
No,
behavioral economists.
First word.
Behavioral.
Behavioral.
Behavioral. Yeah.
Behavioral economist.
Chris, teach us English.
Funnily enough, I used to be an English teacher in Mexico.
Oh my
so.
God.
Was that your passion, though?
That was my passion, English teaching.
No, behavioral economist.
I'm sorry. At the time, very much so. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So, I mean, aside from comedy, I loved comedy as well, obviously.
Comes from his Jewish roots, dude. How do we get people to spend more money?
Yeah.
Then he decided to become
sorry.
A comic and
slightly racist.
The opposite.
That's fine. That's fine. You're not wrong, potentially. I don't know.
Okay. So these are short, fun segments that where we're going to ask you words in Turkish and we'll ask you to guess the meaning. So the first word we are asking is belediye. What
belediye?
Do you think it means? Yeah.
Belediye?
Belediye.
I'm going to say donkey fucker.
Close.
Close, yes.
What is it?
It's more like a human fucker.
that exists here?
No, it means municipality. That
municipality,
I was making a joke. But yeah, maybe it wasn't right.
<I'm> sorry. I was trying to make a joke, but maybe it wasn't right. It was very nice. Very nice.
I might have offended some people.
So immediately he went to... donkey fucking or the
second word I'm asking is mukavemet.
Mukavemet.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oof.
Oh.
I, for some reason, the only thing that comes to my mind as soon as you said that was the African dictator Mugabe for some reason. So I'm guessing it has to be with some kind of intercultural connection between Turkey and this African dictator.
Donkey so. Dictator, right? That's your guess.
No, I'm going to say it means, I'm going to say it means green tea. Not funny.
Well, it means resistance, endurance.
You didn't even know.
I didn't even know. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Did you know before? Did you know?
No.
Say it again, Murat. Say it again.
Yes, I knew, of course.
No, say the word again.
Mukave met.
Ooh.
Mm. Can't resist that, can you?
Okay, the last word I'm asking is Hakan.
Hakan?
Yes.
It's just a name.
But it has a meaning.
It has a name? The name itself has a meaning.
Many Hakans, probably.
I know a couple, yeah.
From Germany, probably, yeah.
Yes, and so my appropriate guess would be donkey fucker. That's what that means.
Don't get biased by the Hakans, you know.
Exactly.
I'm guessing it's a name that comes from Muslim religion, I'm guessing. Does it have a meaning within sort of, or is it more, is it older than that?
Older than that. From Turkic languages, I think.
Okay.
It means ruler. Maybe you know the word Khan.
Oh, Khan, yeah, of course. Yeah. Hakan. Yeah,
Hakan. Khan is coming from Hakan.
Ah, okay. It's showing your Mongolian roots. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Well done.
All right. So. Okay,
so zero out of three.
We're gonna ask you to.
It's not the first time I failed at a test.
Tell us German words, yes. Ask us three German words now.
Oh, I'm telling you a German word and you see if you can guess what it means?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How about Eselsliebhaber?
Eselsliebhaber. Pabar.
Eselsliebhaber.
It means that your insurance got rejected because you're...
You're close. The reason why would be important in this case.
Papa.
Did you say papa?
Leave me alone, daddy.
Almost, depending on your point of view, it means donkey lover.
Because
we're romantic. We're romantics.
Yeah,
romantics. Yes. So how about this word? Finanzamtszweigstelle.
Finance and commerce.
No. Obviously, the first one is finance because that's
Finanzamtsspackteller.
Am Spackteller?
Zweigstelle.
Zweigsteller.
Yeah.
Schwachsteller?
Did you say Schwachsteller?
Finance and economy. No.
No.
Finance and. It's finance something.
It's finance something, that's true.
Accountant.
Accountant?
No. Behavioral economist.
No.
Oh. Good
guess, though. Good guess. No.
Financial advisor. Finance.
Getting homeless because of tax reasons.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh.
What does it mean?
So it's the subsidiary of a tax office.
Okay.
Okay.
Zweigstelle basically just means it's a subsidiary, so it's not the main office. It's a subsidiary.
Great. And exciting word.
I'm German. What can I do? It's a tax office. So there you go.
Oh my God.
Do you want an exciting word? Here's the thing. I can't give you sort of any exciting, for instance, like most languages, the most exciting words specifically for us as comics, obviously are swear words. And for anybody else, not just for comics. It's swear words. So the most interesting, most fun words in pretty much any language. The problem is in Germany, swear words are really, really weak. They're lame. It's something like idiot or Dummkopf, which means just stupid head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing. But that's the cool thing. Like, the further east, the further south you go, you know, the more general-based the insults are and the more they involve other family members.
Turkish swear words are really creative. Us, then.
Give me a good...
Turkish swear words are really creative also.
Anan namına çam diktim git topla kozalakları var.
Oh, say that one again. That one's great.
Anan namına çam diktim git topla kozalakları.
It's a long one. Jesus Christ. You can feel the passion. The fact that you went to, I'm going to say a whole thing just to insult you means how much I hate you.
Söyle.
So what was it again?
Oof.
I heard Allah, so it definitely has to do with God.
Ölmüşlerini siksem.
What was it? Say,
I wish that Allah. I wish that Allah would kill me so that I could go and fuck your deceased.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Because, again, in the Balkans, there's a lot of... Again, there's a very general base and always involves family members. There's one about...
Someone's getting fucking somewhere in some hole.
Precisely.
Somehow.
A lot of times it's parents. Sometimes they're dead, which is always nice. Exactly. Like, if you're fucking, like, a relative's corpses because of how much you hate somebody else, at some point you're like, this is really not about your beef with this person. This is really just about you and your proclivities. This has nothing to do with this beef.
Yeah.
Probably listen to too much Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
Is that a band here?
Oh my God, that's
getting
a band.
Getting affirmation of your kink of fucking dead people.
Mainly that's what
What's
the songs
the
are about.
What's the third word?
Oh, the third word.
Give us another word.
I was hoping you would forget about this stupid shtick, but okay. how about schleppen? It's a Yiddish word. German and Yiddish.
Schleppen? Mm-hmm. Going somewhere?
No.
Sleeping?
Walking? Sleeping?
Nope.
Slapping?
Slapping? No.
Masturbating?
Masturbating. Ooh, that's good. I like that. No.
Diarrhea?
Diarrhea? No. It's a verb. It's an activity.
Doing something.
I'll give you that.
Walking.
It is doing
jumping,
something, yes.
Swimming?
Swimming. It's not swimming.
No. Showering?
No.
Peeling?
Jumping off a cliff.
No, it means that you're carrying something heavy. You're schlepping something like
oh,
that.
Oh, you're schlepping. Okay, yeah. They use that in English, actually.
Yeah, because it's a Yiddish word.
Schlep, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All right.
Schlep that.
Okay.
You're right.
So on our next segment,
I approve.
Everybody who is excited about this, I'm going to show you a Turkish joke. And I'm going to ask you to
guess. Do you still approve?
Guess the meaning.
I approve.
Okay.
Ağzına sağlık. Şu cırcır böceği sesini hepimiz duyuyor muyuz? Tamam, okey. Tamam. Aynı yerde olduğumuzu bilmek sevindirici yani. Çünkü çok garip bir şey oluyor. Yani gülünmeden anlarda böyle hani o zaten şakaya gülünmediği efekti ya bu. Hani bizi sikmek için mi koydunuz bunu hani? amına koyayım yoga, Pırk 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 pırk. Oğlum bu gerçekten cırcır böceği mi?
At first, I thought he was talking about how in different areas they don't accept cash because he said efectivo. Or something like that. I thought he was talking about cash and people don't accept it. But then he said yoga. And I was like, oh, we're talking about a yoga studio in Afghanistan. Okay, I get it. We're talking about yoga terrorists. I get it. I don't know why this is so relevant to Turkish culture. But
maybe I opened from the beginning. Maybe.
O kadar büyük katılımlı sahnelerde çıkma imkanımız olmuyor. O yüzden ayağınıza sağlık. Şu cırcır böceği sesini hepimiz duyuyor muyuz?
So the thing
yeah, that
is,
helped. Thank
nerede,
you.
Nerede çekim onu biliyor musun?
I was going to say, that helped me a lot. Just
yeah,
watching no. that again.
Where?
You suddenly know of Turkish
now. I went into Turkish. Where is it being filmed?
Izmir.
Okay, and it's real?
Yes.
The sounds, okay.
Yeah.
What so sounds are real?
You notice
what?
Cricket mm-hmm. sounds.
I gave you a clue.
Oh, I didn't notice cricket sounds actually. Oh,
let's do it again.
I opened it again.
Oh, was it? That's what he. So he later said like. Ah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it. Can you play that again? Sorry, I really didn't hear that.
Ah, okay. Aynı yerde olduğumuzu bilmek sevindirici yani. Çünkü çok garip bir şey oluyor. Yani gülünmeden anlarda böyle hani o zaten şakaya gülünmedi efekti ya bu. Hani bizi sikmek için mi koydunuz bunu?
Was it cricket? I still didn't hear it.
Amına koyayım yoga. Oğlum bu gerçekten cırcır böceği mi? Siz cırcır böceklerini...
So that happened, that there was an actual cricket in the room? like
so it was an open air room.
Oh, that's the
and
ventilation.
And there were crickets outside. constantly hearing cricket sounds. And this guy
oh,
is making
funny.
A joke about like cricket sound is already a sound effect for bad jokes, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying, is this for trolling us? Like every time nobody laughs, the bad sound effect is already there. So this
exactly.
was this.
Every time he's silent, there's like the crickets.
Yeah, I wish I should do that for some shows. Like for open mics, you need to have like on a soundboard, you need to have some cricket sounds.
yeah, roast battles, we used to use them. So on this part, we're going to watch a joke together. And we'll try to improve the joke.
Okay. Is it also going to be in Turkish?
No, this time it's in English.
Is it the same guy? No.
No.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, this is it. So what we do is that usually we try to put an afterthought tagline, like a bunch of comics are in the room. Maybe try to come up with a follow-up joke. Aslı, do you have anything?
I'm thinking, I wish I had PTSD, post-trauma.
Like maybe there might be some puns there.
Trauma.
PTSD, post-trauma, they're mid-trauma all the time, Iranians. And
Do you have the same thing where post means like postal things here in Turkey?
Yes.
Like the post office.
Yes,
that's post is the mail, essentially.
Yeah.
Maybe you can do something about sort of how the trauma is being delivered, you know, like post-traumatic stress disorder in terms of, your trauma is being delivered. It's handed down from generation, one slap at a time, something like that.
That's nice.
Good ideas.
To our delivery post-traumatic disorder, Amazon.
Delivering the post via...
Trauma now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like something on just combining some of the Iranian heritage with what kind of trauma we're talking about specifically.
Can you tell us a joke in German?
A joke in German? I can tell you one of those sort of classic jokes in German.
Does it have to be one of his or just a random one?
It can be a folk joke.
Yeah, I'll do one of those, exactly. Because it's one that I use as an English translation, even my act, because I've got a bit about, I mean, you saw yesterday, I got a bit about sort of German humor, to sort of illustrate what's funny to a German. So I'll tell you a joke. You'll recognize it because you've heard it yesterday, but in English. And then I'll translate. I'll tell you the German version, and I'll translate it for your viewers later. So it's, alle stehen an der Klippe, außer Peter, der läuft noch einen Meter.
You got
such a
it.
Fake fucking laugh.
Sounds hilarious.
Everybody stays.
It's in the monotonic delivery. That's how German comedy is done. Sorry. What?
Everyone stayed in the wagon, and Peter didn't.
No.
Peter's wife. Fuck the rest.
Well, what's your guess? What do you think this is about?
Say it again.
Okay. Jeder steht an der Klippe, außer Peter, der läuft noch einen Meter.
My grandma took my toe clipper, therefore my grandfather is angry.
Absolutely. You got it. You nailed it. How did you? So you didn't only live in London, you lived in Germany as well? Good. Okay, I'll translate it. So everybody stands at the cliff, except for Peter, who walks another meter.
Oh,
That's German comedy for
you. And dies.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I remember the follow-up joke now.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody has to die for Germans to laugh.
Exactly.
Okay, we are approaching to the end slowly.
Already.
All right. We have a couple of weird trade-off questions for you, Chris.
Go for it.
You're going to make 10 times more money than what you do right now, but you have to live in Turkey.
Wait, hold on.
10 times more money in euros,
hold on,
or what?
Hold on. Do I have to do I have to be more myself, or can I bring my family with me?
You can, of course.
No, then
you
no.
Can,
then
you can
no.
bring
then
your
no.
Family.
Then no. No way. No, no deal.
He's like, if I'm gonna get the money, I want to spend it myself, right?
Yeah,
not letting your wife and kids benefit.
All right, I'm making a note here.
Make a note. He's not.
He loves himself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that wasn't obvious so far. Yes, yes.
Put the kids up for adoption immediately.
That's how he makes the money, actually. That's even yes. part of the question. He sells the kids.
I make money one kid at a time.
All right.
Another, I call it comedy.
Another question for you is that you are going to open for Louis C.K. On a 20,000 people arena, but you're going to piss your pants. Do you accept?
Wait, will I piss my pants or will he piss on my pants? Like, do I have to go? Are my trousers wet because he jizzed on them?
Well, whatever you did in the backstage, it's not.
That's not the concern. That's hypothetical. Okay.
Is he pissing himself while he's performing?
Yeah, yes, good question.
But it's hilarious. Everybody's.
Everybody loves it. Oh, definitely. Yeah, no question.
Okay.
Easy.
Hilarious. I can shit my pants. Also, Vomit on stage.
Whatever works, dude.
What about violent diarrhea? Violent diarrhea while you're on your violent diarrhea. It's
but
like
it's hilarious.
I'll repeat myself. Whatever works.
Okay, okay, but it's hilarious
whatever,
then.
Whatever works.
It's a great plus on the.
This is we talked about classic. This is classic German comedy now. Just people having violent diarrhea. This is okay. Instant classic. Yeah.
Final question I have is that in exchange for 10 million euros, will you change your legal name to Günterinho Schnitzelburger?
10 million euros.
First of all, that's an anti-Semitic question. Number one. I mean, I don't have the most Semitic name to begin with, but this is just over the line, my friend. No. No, for 10 million, sure, why the fuck not?
Yeah, why not? I would do it. Günterinho Schnitzelburger, it's just
I mean,
the rolls off the tongue.
Think about it this way. I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about legal change, like changing your name legally, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can always have a stage name.
You can take it back.
No, not only can take it back. Name. You can have a stage name. Yeah. Like, nobody knows needs to know your real name.
Okay, so put it down, low morals.
Okay. Immediately found the
loophole.
Exactly.
Don't you normally only invite comics? Like, how is this? How is this surprising to any of you? Low morals.
Okay. So the final bit before the evaluation.
Is this is a whole bit now. Okay, go
random
on.
Wikipedia presentation. Okay. What's going to happen is that we're going to... You said you are a behavioral.
Why do you keep using
economist.
The word if you can't fucking pronounce it? Just use a different word.
All right, economist.
Slapping the table. Yes, it's me.
Behavioral economist.
I'm changing my name legally to that. Whatever he's saying, that's my new name now.
So I'm going to click on a random article, mm-hmm. and you're going to explain it like it is related to behavioral economists. behavioral economy.
I love that in your version there was the word royal in it, which is good because it was in England.
All right, I clicked on it, and this is it.
Stan, for sure. Am I supposed to read this first, or I'm just explaining from
just
the headline?
Just the title,
from the title. So Stan Fougeroux is a French person who invented cheese. It's the famous Fougeroux. He's the famous Fougeroux cheese. It's the type of cheese that you wouldn't know about. It's the type of cheese that sort of builds up in your foreskin.
Mm. Ooh. I've tried Fougeroux.
Yeah. That's why it's in the end. It's ooh. You have a bit of fougue, and then you go ooh. It's like you need Stan. You need to wash your cheese, my man. Yes, and Stan was the person who invented this. He came up with this. He was the first person. He actually invented the foreskin. Stan is the man who invented the foreskin. Before this, it was all just chopped off. You know,
and then cheese makes you spend more money. Is that how?
Yeah, exactly. You've got
this money related.
It's got to be. You've got a comment. From the perspective of
from a perspective of a behavioral economist.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yes, he actually, due to the fact that he created the first foreskin in the world, he came up with a theory what would happen if people would attach these foreskins to their penises. Because he thought this would revolutionize the oldest profession in the world, prostitution. Because he would think, because of this lovely foreskin, there's going to be so many more male prostitutes. Because he thought, women, they want to have a taste of this. He was wrong, by the way. This theory was resoundingly rejected.
He started his research, but then
it
didn't go too far.
No,
that was very insightful. We got to know Stan Fougeroux.
I don't even know if you pronounce his name like that, but yeah, sure.
Fougeroux.
All right. Evaluation process. Finally, let's see if Chris is fit to do comedy in Turkey.
Yeah.
I'm gathering my points here. He's getting 8.5 out of 10 from me. Welcome to Turkey.
Good job. 8.5 is pretty good.
How many of these evaluations have you done so far?
Six.
Six. Okay.
Yes. And right. You have the highest score.
I have the highest score?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Where are the other people from?
Romania.
We had one from
all over the
United
place.
States.
Okay.
And
okay, no surprise there.
Italian guy and cool. Also
Lebanese
guy. Yes.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
Very international, I love it.
Iranian
as well.
Pakistan,
okay.
From Pakistan as well.
was Iranian talking about their post-traumatic stress disorder? Or?
Yeah, probably yes. Him, right? Yeah.
Yes, okay. He was. But yeah.
It was them. Fantastic.
It was great to know you, Chris. Thank you so much for
having me on.
This was the end of the episode. Another Passport Comedy Podcast, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I was Murat.
I was Asla.
And
that was Chris. Hey.
Until next time. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.